Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans, welcome back. We are here to talk about the season 4 premiere, The Ghost. We've got so much great stuff to talk about tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It is so good to be back!
Yeah! Yeah.
Guys, yes. I'm so excited to be back. My face feels like it's on fire. My entire head,
what?
Everything.
What could you possibly be referring to?
I know, I'm just super excited. How are you all doing tonight?
I feel great. I missed you guys. I missed the show. I missed this panel. I missed the viewers. It's good to be back.
Everything about this.
Such a nerdy night tonight. I'm so excited.
I know. This is so exciting. I went and did this stupid thing. For
By
those of you
stupid,
who are
you
who
mean
are,
amazing.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening, I had like a black just like jacket in the car. And I was like, I have a roll of white gaff tape at the studio.
Why?
So
why?
I went and made the jankiest Robbie Reyes cosplay jacket. Of all time.
Hey, anybody needs a Halloween costume idea.
It's super
Zach
easy.
Zach has given it to you.
Zach and I had a moment where I taped him up with white tape. It's right here. We didn't even hide it. We forgot to hide it. It's so janky.
You're ruining the illusion. But yes, let's go ahead and get right to it. We don't have a lot of time tonight. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Jesse Klein.
Oh my God. Hi everyone. How's it going? Ha! Ha! I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. Let's talk about this show.
Robbie Reyes, I mean Zach Wilson.
And I'm wearing shields right underneath.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I got my
Oh, guys, got it. I'm so excited to be back. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson.
Joyce Ajuri.
Hey, guys, it's so good to be back. I'm happy to be here with you guys tonight. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Ajuri.
And I'm your host, Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. We are going to be following along on Twitter for the hashtag ABTVMarvel. And Zach is keeping an eye on the live chat.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine you guys have lots to say.
Which, by the way, I tweeted out a poll today to
yes.
see how excited you guys were about the episode. And the options were, I wanted to read the results
Please
live.
Do. Please
the
do.
Options were, in ascending order, with 17%. I may be.
Yes.
Well, I'll just read it straight through. At 21%, I'm quaking in my seat.
Okay.
And the winner with 41%, my skull is on fire.
Yes.
But bringing it up with 21%, I just fitzed my pants.
I think that's my favorite one.
That's gross.
That's my favorite one.
That was leading for a little while, and I was really excited.
I'm really glad my skull is on fire one.
Aww. Well, I'm glad you guys are excited.
But
I'm
the
so
skull
happy.
Was on fire, you guys.
It looks so good.
We're going to start off talking
it really
about
this.
Yes, yeah, of course, it's literally the first thing I have on the board. So let's go ahead and talk about it, because I remember last season when we first came back and we were talking about Lash, we all kind of laughed and giggled about how... And it got better down the line, but we all kind of laughed about how not convincing the effects were.
Yeah, you looked like you should be collecting gold rings.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> Insert Sonic Super Saiyan joke here.
Yeah.
But seeing how they did Ghost Rider in
And I'll be
episode.
Honest, like, I was nervous going into the episode because the photo that they put out on Yahoo last week looked sort of weak.
Yeah.
Actually,
it was like the proportions were off. Like, it was a cool homage to the cover, the original cover art that of Robbie Reyes, but it just didn't look good.
Yeah.
But then they released that poster, and in the poster, which is clearly a visual effect lifted direct, because I saw the shot that it was in, looks so good. I'm so glad that's the version
the
they gave
spirit
us.
Spirit looks great. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Creepy
spirit
too.
Looks great.
Yes.
Like, I like that it's not an anatomically correct human skull at all. It's like super wide and like it's got almost like horns at the back.
Well, that was a huge concern. This is one of the few times I actually get to talk about like comics that I've read on the show, so I'm really excited. But I was talking to my friend about it and she was really concerned that they were just going to make it a normal human skull, that it wasn't going to be the Robbie Reyes stylized skull. And they did a damn good job at stylizing
it. Looks better than the movie.
It looks like, sort of like halfway.
Yeah.
Like they wanted to do a little bit of that like skull helmet thing that Robbie has in the comics, But they know that most people are coming into this just knowing Ghost Rider from Johnny Blaze.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And even a lot of people just knowing it from the Nick Cage movies.
It's a wonderful blend.
Yeah, I'm actually someone who doesn't know anything about Robbie Reyes and anything about the Ghost Rider. So, like, I'm happy to hear your input and your insight onto this. And I am also along with you guys. Like,
yeah.
The first thing I noticed was when the car flipped over and it was on fire in the beginning. Like, it looked amazing.
Yeah.
It looked so good. I wasn't, like, weirded out by it. It wasn't corny.
It didn't look cheesy.
It didn't look cheap or cheesy.
I just wished we were watching on a bigger screen at the time. So, yeah, as somebody who isn't as familiar with Ghost Rider, is this your first time ever seeing Ghost Rider on screen?
I mean, I don't think there was a movie, right?
There were three movies.
There were movies.
Three?
Okay, sorry.
And I don't recall seeing any of them.
I thought there were only two.
Oh, maybe there were two.
I was going to say, the third one was an Ashton film.
They all blend into my brain together.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But anyway. Yeah, so like, I haven't seen them.
It gave us that tease. Like, again, it's a character. It's a base character that most people are familiar with.
Yeah.
So they knew that they could just throw him into us and we can catch up on his backstory.
Exactly.
Which is what we got towards the end of the episode. Yeah. But, like, the way they introduce him with, like, the skull with, like, the little fractures and everything gives a character.
Yeah.
And the way that they slowly sort of introduced us to Robbie is, like, it's a great arc that we saw in this episode.
Yeah, because when we first see him, first of all, we don't even see him in his entirety. We only get the carnage that is left, and
10 o'clock spot, baby. It was dark.
There was blood splatter, and like he impaled a guy, and then like another guy, it kind of looked like he exploded like a balloon off screen, and then
gross.
Daisy's only seeing him through the flames, and you could see that his skull's on fire, but you can't really make it out. And then just, you see Robbie earlier in the episode, and you see him interrogating this guy. And then as it goes on, and then we finally get this big old confrontation at the end.
That's so good.
And we get the full reveal, and it was probably one of the most satisfying things this show has ever done. And I do not say that lightly.
Like again, like, other seasons, other TV shows, the writer, or like, the spirit versus Daisy would get teased out for like 7 or 8 episodes. Like the fight between the two of them.
You would hear about some killings and murders in Los Angeles.
We
and
got
then
Spirit versus Daisy episode 1.
Yeah. Which, like, there is a marketing aspect to that where they know, like, look, S.H.I.E.L.D. has never had the ratings that they wanted it to have. It's always been solid, but never like explosive. And this was like their way of being like, we had to move to a new time slot. We need to, like, get people here. Oh, man.
They did a good job with that.
Yeah.
I guess it's safe to say the season's gonna be lit.
Yeah.
Ha! I see what you did. I understood that reference.
I was worried that when...
Megan.
Oh, thank you. I was worried that when they said this season was gonna be darker, that it was gonna take, for lack of a better term, like, DC way... But this still had all of the fun that you expect from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I think making Coulson not the director and making him, like, this punchy friend. Now he and Mac are having adventures together.
Yeah.
And, like, all of the one-liners were still here. It was still, like, even the Charger doing that flip was super schlocky in the best way possible. And, like, that was my main worry. And they nailed it. It still feels like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and like they're still flirty, there's still jokes, it's still fun.
I do feel like it was a little darker, especially when they focused on Daisy and the things that she was saying.
For sure.
I mean, obviously she's been through so much since last season, but things she was saying, like, you know, towards the end, we'll get to it later, but she's like, I deserve it, like, give it to me.
Yeah, that kind of mentality is really
dark. Darker for someone like Daisy, who we're used to seeing as, like, a ray of positivity in the crew.
Yeah.
I love that moment so much, because I don't even want to wait. I want to talk about
that. Yeah, no, talk about
because
it.
Because that moment, like, for anyone who may not remember, or, like, if you're just a Ghost Rider fan and you're jumping into S.H.I.E.L.D. now, like, what Daisy went through at the end of last season was that she went through an addiction arc where she was dealing with the fact that she almost killed her friends because of her addiction
to
and then to hive, and then suffering withdrawal symptoms to the point where she even said, "Please take me back."
Yeah.
And he couldn't. And, you know, not for lack of trying. And then as a result, she was planning on sort of sacrificing herself. And instead, Lincoln ended up sacrificing himself. Mm-hmm. And
she's left with this, like, just well of guilt that she's trying to deal with. And part of it, I think she's trying to go out there and do some good in the world and stop inhumans who are bad, any enhanced people who are bad. And, like, she's committing what, like, the government's seeing now as acts of terrorism.
Which is why I think, like, the fact that Ghost Rider didn't kill her, because he said he's the one who decides who gets to die.
Well, that's so, the thing. Like, well, Ghost Rider can
still has something in her, obviously, that makes him realize that she doesn't deserve.
So, because Ghost Rider can look into your soul, and judge you.
Yeah.
Part of his power set is that he has this thing called the penance scare.
Stare.
Yeah, sorry.
It is scary.
It is scary. It is very scary. And basically,
he just says boo and you explode.
Basically, what it is he stares into your soul, and based off of all the bad things you've done, the worse you are, the worse it is, and he burns your soul. And depending on how bad you are, that's how bad the burn is.
See how and so, dark
thus,
this is?
Thus, the Aryan guy in the hospital was burned through because he's a terrible human being.
Yeah.
But not as bad as, like, other people, because he's still, like, save my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a really good, like, nuance to him. Yeah, he wasn't as bad because he also lived a little bit, like, after getting the penance stare.
But yeah, so when he's looking down at her, what
he's literally looking into her.
That shot, and this, like, it was great directing and writing, because when they hold on that shot, you can see the eyes and the VFX like sort of dart around, like almost studying her, and then making this decision of, you are a good person, and
there was, or at least not somebody who deserves to die in this moment.
I think there was a surprise on Robbie's part, because, like, he just assumed that she had to be bad, and, like, okay, well, now I'm gonna burn you and I'm gonna walk away.
I mean, he even said, you have the power of the devil inside you too, or something like that.
Well, not on Robbie's part, but I think more on this the is a question:
is it Robbie or is it Eli?
Assuming it's Eli. And we should clarify for those of you who've read the comics: Eli in Robbie Reyes and Johnny Blaze actually do exist in the same world, and they are not possessed by the same spirit.
Nope.
Robbie Reyes is possessed by an evil spirit named Eli, whereas Ghost Rider is more the spirit of vengeance and has been at it for a lot longer. Yeah. They exist within the same world, and at one point they even fight, and it's great and wonderful, but that's neither here nor there. So it does leave a lot of questions as to, is this the spirit of vengeance, or is it Eli? Because Eli was much more malevolent. Yeah. Eli just liked hurting people for the sake of hurting people.
For sure.
And it became very interesting, like, how do I figure out this power set and still do something good?
It makes sense that, you know, Robbie is the former, because he's giving them a chance by, like, scanning their souls, basically.
It seems like this is a little further into Robbie's story than, like, you got in his actual books, where he's now on, like, a sort of, like, even-keeled partnership with Eli, where he's out there trying to save his neighborhood and protect East Los Angeles. So he's letting Eli take over when he sees somebody he is like, well, this person's probably bad. I guess, Eli, just take over, do your thing.
Yeah, it seems Robbie's like more of a partnership.
Because he does say, like, you know, when he's interrogating the guy, he's like, either I ask the questions or he does, and you don't want him to ask the questions.
Yeah.
Because then you get run over by a charger.
Then you get your
charger.
Spine pulled out of your...
Wow.
Yeah. That's, for anyone wondering, that's what that explosion of blood was.
Yeah. Oh, God. That was... I'm just thinking of
Congratulations.
Mortal Kombat over here.
Fatality. Finish him.
I'm surprised he hasn't been in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. I'm surprised he doesn't, at some point in the series, if he doesn't use his chain... To grab somebody and say, get over here. I'm going to be real disappointed.
Well, even, like, Ant in the chat role is saying, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has gotten bloodier. And it has. They've instantly taken advantage of the later time slot to go in. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has never been that clean of a show. Like, just remember that, like, the one that sticks out the most in my mind is the surgery scene from last season.
Yeah. Or when what's-her-name got shot in the head.
It gets real intense. But this is, like, right out of the gate, like, running a car into a dude.
Maybe,
like,
this is just what the show needs.
I think it does kind of,
because I immediately noticed the humor more. Because it was so dark, and I think it kind of balances it out.
Yeah, when you have more of kind of a dark ambiance, it makes the jokes land a lot more hard, because you get that instant relief of like, oh gosh, I didn't realize how tense I was until I finally started laughing.
Guys, can we talk about how creepy Ada is?
Do we want to finish up with Daisy and Ghost Rider but yeah, talk about some dark stuff.
Yeah.
We'll get to Ada for sure. But yeah, one thing you mentioned with it, you were afraid it was kind of going to go DC. With Daisy's story, I really like that it's, you know, not only is she going through a lot of this stuff right now, but she's also trying to protect her heart, because we get that moment with her and Yo-Yo.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, what exactly, all Coulson wants to do is find you.
God,
and
Yo-Yo was like, so good.
So great. And she's like, that's a shame. I only want one thing, and that's nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And we can see that she's in this place where even though she wants to do some good in the world, she's still, like, there's still an open wound there, and she wants to close off her heart for that.
Well, yeah, every guy she's had an attachment to
is either a Nazi or dead.
has ended up a supervillain or is dead in space.
Like, oh my gosh. Poor Daisy.
Yeah.
I just lost my train of thought. I like how they opened up with Daisy looking like the stereotypical rebel, popping pills, which at first I was really disappointed about, and I was like, what is she doing to herself? She's smarter than that.
She's living in a van down by the river.
Guys, we get the Sky van back. I'm sorry, but it's Sky's van.
I was really happy to learn that it was Yo-Yo, like, secretly helping her out to make sure she's still healthy. She's not, like, hurting herself to the extent where, you know, she can't function anymore.
And that was something.
Yo-Yo has a newfound confidence about her.
I know.
She's so good.
She's so sassy. I love it. But the only other thing with Daisy I want to touch on is with this fight, I'm kind of glad that we established really early on in the episode that without S.H.I.E.L.D., she is pushing herself to the limit. And, you know, it's causing her, you know, her body to break down a little bit. So when we get this confrontation with you know, the spirit, we, you know, we're not surprised when she doesn't win or that it didn't take, you know, that the fight itself wasn't longer. Because somebody could make a complaint like, oh, they only fought for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But like, she is clearly at a disadvantage because she's not at 100%.
And in the comic book universe, I feel like Ghost Rider would destroy her almost immediately. Like, it's just like, maybe the Spirit of Vengeance would, maybe not Eli, but their power levels seem vastly different.
Yeah.
Like, one is magic, one is the real world.
Well, this energy is what's going to be interesting. I mean, everyone's talked about it leading up to the show, but this is going to be the magic season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where last season was the Inhumans, and was very much also about the political, like, crossed lines between two sides of an argument, which was leading up to Civil War.
And in this season, we have, you know, we're in the wake of the Sokovia Accords.
Yeah, which I love that they're doing with that, but we're also leading up to Doctor Strange. In the spring, I think the only one that comes out before what would theoretically be the finale would be Guardians, and I don't think we're going to get a Guardians crossover.
But
because this is going to be the season where Doctor Strange is coming in, and Marvel is trying to set up all this magic stuff like, look, this has been very science-based till now, and Marvel is generally very science-based, but we're getting into Marvel's magic and really cosmic stuff now, so Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to follow suit with something that I think what I'm really looking forward to is them trying to explain this with science. Mm-hmm. Like, they already said that they're, like, towards the end, they swept for, like, pathogens and everything.
Yeah.
But you can't find a pathogen for a ghost.
Yeah,
a ghost
let's box. Talk about that ghost in a box.
Ghost
because
in a box.
What?
It's a ghost in a box.
That's exactly what I was thinking. What on earth is this creature that just wanted a breath of
fresh
air?
It creeped me out. I was talking to you guys during the show. She reminded me of one of the characters in previous seasons, one of Ward's, like, gang members or crew members. She had like long nails. Or her
You're thinking of one of Hyde's crew. Yeah, the lady with the nails.
Yes, yeah. That's what I was thinking of because she looked like her.
Hyde's superpower was Hyde's really long, sharp fingernails.
Hyde's job squad is what I would call
them. She had knives.
So when the ghost first came out of the box, I was like, is that her? Like, could it be her spirit?
Because her hair was
You guys reminded me, like, those people haven't died in the universe.
No, those people were, like, carted off to jail for being losers and crimes, I'm sure, but mostly being losers.
It looks like that it could be an actual ghost. Like, the episode's called The Ghost, which we immediately were
was Ghostwriter.
Well, I think we were joking, like, I wonder who that's about. Yeah. And guess what?
it was about someone different.
Yeah, guess what? We were wrong. Yeah.
Well, no, there is another possibility. I remember in the first season, there was somebody who suffered an accident, and then this woman felt like weird stuff was happening around her, and it was because this guy was caught between two dimensions, and he was he was very possessive of her, so he was kind of inadvertently tormenting her, but like again because he was being torn between two worlds. Is it possible that this is somebody who's also caught between two dimensions who can influence people in this dimension?
I think it's possibly a straight up spooky ghost.
Yeah,
it's the magic. It's the magic season, so they gotta introduce. It's not explained by alien Kree powers. And especially with, like, the origin story of the Ghostwriter, where it's literally the devil.
Which, literally, stay tuned for some news and gossip towards the end.
Literally the Marvel devil.
Mephisto?
Yeah. And
stay tuned for news and gossip.
Yeah, exciting. Like, so I think they've got to establish, like, I was racking my brain for, like, prominent ghosts in the Marvel universe.
I couldn't think of a single one. And other than Spider-Man's villain.
I was gonna say, is Pandora's not box ghost. A thing?
I mean, it could have been in one of the Ares or Hercules storylines, but I mean, it could also possibly be another spirit of vengeance. There are multiple ones.
That's true.
So it could be one of those. So that would be an interesting kind of storyline.
But it's also strange. We saw at the end, like going on your point of like, is this a spirit that's like in between parallels. Like in the end, we saw Coulson's face from May's perspective, like kind of warp and turn into what we saw, the other guy.
It seems
into.
Like the spirit has like latched onto like, May.
Okay. But I feel like going on to your point that it is taunting, you know, people in this universe.
Yeah, it just seems to be like, hey, you know what'd be fun? I don't see any, like, kind of agenda here. It's just like, hey, you know what'd be fun? If those guys shot each other, that'd be hilarious.
Well, on that spirit of vengeance thing, what better way than to show other people how ugly you are, how many people you've killed, by making a visual on their face? I mean, Coulson is a good guy, but he has a body count.
He's definitely
and
killed
like,
people.
So those triad guys also maybe had a body count, and that's what they were seeing.
Interesting.
It was like a visual representation.
Maybe it's not...
Or it's just a spooky old ghost.
Or maybe it's not a visual representation of Coulson's sins. Maybe you see your sins projected onto other people. I don't know. Because, May definitely has done some dark
she
stuff as well.
She also has blood on her hands.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see as our team members interact with Ghost Rider, who Pat gets judgment passed upon them, and who might get burned.
Someone might get a burn.
Like, I would say that Coulson would pass through a penance stare because he has never killed out of...
One time, Ward.
He was also he was a guy who deserved that death.
But also, the penistere has to do with regret, and I would say Coulson has the most regret out of everyone.
Regret, but is it regret or guilt?
It's always tying the line
because it's sort of.
And I would say Coulson feels the most guilt out of everyone as well.
But it's a different kind of guilt. There's a guilt for like.
She's got a lot of stuff on her conscience.
But there's like a different type of guilt, I think, between like a murderer who like is like, oh, I killed those people versus like Coulson, who's like, I did this because it had to be done, but I hate that I had to do it.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. right. Well, we're gonna talk about the team because the team has been broken up, but really, and so everybody's kind of in a different place. But before we do that, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so, so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate and leave a comment and subscribe. We love hearing from you, and we love that we have an international audience.
It's so cool.
It blows my mind every single time when I look at the YouTube comments and I see people from all around the world. But again, the best way to let our producers know that you like the show that we're talking about and like hearing us just gush about Robbie Reyes and his beautiful hair and other things in this show. But yeah, it is going to iTunes, rating and leaving a comment so that they know you want us to keep this show running. And guys, after having done this for three seasons now, I am so ecstatic and proud to be doing the fourth season. And if you comment, you may even get a shout out on the show.
Yes, we have over 600 now.
We have 603 reviews, guys.
Where were we at the beginning of last season?
Hold on, guys. We if you've been following this show, you know that we've been vying for that top spot on the network for the most reviews. And if we throw that picture up, you can see we officially crossed Scandal by one review. Yes!
Take that, Scandal.
Mission accomplished.
Bringing our dumb feud to the forefront.
It's a friendly feud, but you guys helped us
win. Scandal get a spirit of vengeance.
I want to thank all the people who commented and reviewed over the summer while we weren't even airing.
So cool.
Real quick, because there's so many of you guys. Mad Splatter says, my first podcast of interest came from AfterBuzz. Anything with the Menguin and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a perfect combination. Evanescence Fan 2017, hey, you guys, love your after show. The best one out there when it comes to talking about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Prodigal 358 says, Morp. We finally have the meaning of Morp, Marvel's outstanding radical podcast.
I love it. See, I knew Morp would do something good. Morp.
White Cat 11, this is awesome. Z Yark, fantastic entertainment. Peggy's secret admirer. We now mourn the passing of the greatest agent that S.H.I.E.L.D. will ever know. This after show gives great insight and opinions, along with a deep love for the source material. Even though my lovely Peggy is now gone, and we no longer have the joy of reliving her great adventures, I am glad her legacy carries on through all of you. Luke Stark says, one of my favorite AfterBuzz TV shows, hashtag Team Iron Man. R.I.P. Shake and Bake, Angel03. Megan, Jesse, Joy, and Zach geeking out about all things Marvel. Thanks for maximum effort. Iron Moran. Hey, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel, my husband and I discovered about you about a month ago, and we are hooked. One amazing podcast.
Yeah.
J-Mac says, great. Dave R., there should be a sixth star. Option zero, boom, snorkeling. Sure. Zach may need a new catchphrase, but I've never changed my first stop after Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Lindsay AZ, the only after show that matters. Ooh. King Matt Dragstar, I just wanted to be part of the 600 reviews.
Yeah.
Big
you
Bird 515, just watch the show and then listen to all the podcasts. Don't Want to Rent says, podcast is amazing, people are amazing. Can't wait for September 20th, says Guppy 66.
It's
just
here.
Re-listened to every ABTV S.H.I.E.L.D. and I haven't lasted as much as I did. Reflex 123, summer hiatus, almost over, we must surpass the Scandal podcast. And we did. Lastly, Ortizan says, awesomeness. Love to hear you guys. Excellent show.
Thank you guys
so much, guys.
You're enthusiastic.
And keep them coming. I want to hit 700 by mid-season.
Oh, my God.
So many goals. But really, though, their enthusiasm makes this so worthwhile.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love it so much.
And thanks to all you guys who were in the chat. All 150 of you so far, and that West Coast has and Central Time haven't even watched it yet.
Yeah,
so you guys are awesome. Everybody who's in there, Tyler Cash, Ghost 8386, Aunt Ivan Soto,
Ghost.
Kelly Marie Pemberton, Mikey Abbott, Fantasy Stats Guru, Victor Tang. There's too many
Shout
to list,
out.
But let's keep going with the show because there's only so much time.
And sadly, with the new time, we can't go over anymore. So sorry, guys. So we're gonna speed through the rest of this. So the team has been fractured, as a result of this enigmatic new director. And so, as you said, Coulson and Mac are going on adventures. May's got her own strike team. Fitz and Simmons are killing it in the science division. And,
guys, we finally have the mac and cheese team together. I was so excited about that. Coulson's call name is cheese, so it's mac and cheese. They're there together, finally. Thank you.
What a delicious combination. So do we want to talk a little bit about Simmons and her relationship with the new director.
It's real interesting. It's really interesting. This is a weird power shift where Gemma is now like running things. She has clearance levels, which is now color coded.
Yeah, it's she has orange clearance.
Orange, which is both yellow and red.
That was actually really clever. Yeah. But let's not get into details. No, I love seeing this side of Gemma. I think it's really, I mean, it is weird to me also to see May sort of, like she said, feeling like kind of inferior to Gemma and based on her security clearance.
It was a weird sort of like power play kind of dynamic with May intentionally undermining Gemma.
Yeah, it was really strange, but I like seeing this side, especially for Elizabeth's acting range. Like she just was really good with her with putting her foot down and you know, being the authority over May.
She's sort of acting in
really
a,
uncomfortable.
Yeah, she's sort of acting in like a motherly role at this point where she's like, you got, like, we were going to be separated. Like, this is what's happening, kids. I am the only one who's, like, trying to protect everyone.
Yeah.
So I'm sucking up to the director because that's the, I don't, because she doesn't trust him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, thinking, like, she might have been, like, a goody-goody, like, on his side, totally. Now she's totally, she's fighting against him, just fighting from within.
And is it just me, or did they, like, intentionally make Gemma look a little bit taller or bigger than May?
I think so, yeah.
It looked like she was definitely wearing heels or something.
She just
like,
looked like she was looking down on her.
I think the angle was done intentionally at a slightly lower angle.
And
to,
I think May was, like, leaning against a wall or something, if I remember
right.
There
was definitely a power dynamic thing here, which was very great
which just
framing.
Brought her lower.
I do like that May now has her team of badasses, though. Like, she just has her team of little Mays. Like, she's... She's a goose, and she has all of her children like behind her.
I was gonna say, like, talking about Simmons being a mother figure. This is Mama May right now.
Oh, man. And they are efficient. Even Mac and Colson are like, damn.
Because we got a little bit of them last year, right? Like with the raid on the town that Hive had.
Yeah.
And but like
there was
like,
definitely a few familiar faces.
We're like, who
in that
are
group?
These people? And now we kind of get more of them. Yeah, I like May's team.
I thought they were only being established so that they would die, you know, in the hands of Hive. Yeah. And here they are.
Look, this all makes sense.
Yeah.
The way that it's that S.H.I.E.L.D. has reacted, because like when we last season, S.H.I.E.L.D. was still like a micro like unit. Like, there wasn't a lot of people. There weren't a lot of people in S.H.I.E.L.D. They've started to grow towards the end of the season, but now like, it's beyond just like, oh, Talbot's sending some people, the government's sending people. The Sokovia Accords have had a massive effect on how S.H.I.E.L.D. is run, to the point where Coulson can't even be the director anymore. I think it's almost regardless of whether or not he was even, like, deserving of it. Remember, Coulson's dead to the rest of the world, so you can't have. And I think S.H.I.E.L.D. is now a public entity again.
Yeah. I think so.
Where like they're, I think they're sort of the UN's like for like they're the what's the word I'm looking
like
for?
Like the task force
enforcement,
for
enforcement task, like enforcement team for the Sokovia Accords.
Yeah,
and there's so much red tape and bureaucracy in what, you know, they were a bunch of renegades two seasons ago. And now it's like we've taken several steps back to them being a government organization.
Yeah.
And, but like, things are even more strict and more stringent, and again, color-coded security spectrum.
Which I can't wait to see how this affects Fitz and Simmons' relationship, because they've clearly gotten
it seems a little strange
close and open about, you know, their affection and their relationship, and now all of a sudden we have Fitz hiding something from her because of how she's reacting and because of how she's sucking up to the new
director. Can we talk about that thing Fitz
is hiding
from
her? Can we talk about, yes, we can talk about Ida now.
Right before we talk about her, because people are talking about it in the chat, do you guys like or dislike the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. has been legitimized again?
I don't have any strong opinions about it. I think it's just an interesting new way to tell the story. You know, they're no longer underground. They no longer have to hide. But because of that, there are a lot more restrictions on them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a double-edged sword, because this is, you know, it's a good way to illustrate the way the world has changed in the wake of Civil War and in the wake of the Sokovia Accords. And, you know, we get a lot of interesting stuff since the new director. The bad part about that is that it severely changed the team dynamic, which has always been a really big, wonderful aspect of this show. And so now that, and we've seen this before, of the team being fragmented and coming back together. And so, but now with all of these restrictions and the idea planted, you know, before we ever see him, the idea of the new director being a potentially malevolent figure, obviously we're mistrustful of him from the get-go. So it's like we have a broken team and a shady director. Yeah. Where, you know, how long until our team decides they have to break off and do their own thing again?
Which is what Civil War was about, where it's like it's convenient to have these things until it's not. And then, yeah, you know, Iron Man immediately goes against everything he was fighting for.
You're so slow, Turtle Man.
Yeah.
I do like it as in terms of plot, though. I think it is exactly what this team needed to really put them into, like, their worst-case scenarios and really see how they deal with it.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how, like, a smaller portion of the broken-up team is doing what S.H.I.E.L.D. did when they weren't legitimized. Like, we got Coulson and Mack doing something in secret.
Going rogue!
Yeah. Which is, like, still being found out. But still, like, they still want to keep that part of the... of their dynamic intact.
Also, Agent Davis is going to die. They went out of their way to name
him.
They
know that,
right? And then they talked about how
he's got a baby on the way.
He's got a pregnant wife. It's like, oh yeah, Agent Davis is going to die for sure. Yeah.
Will he die by the hands of an LMD?
Oh, who knows?
Ooh. So yeah, you want to talk about Ida? Because she's meant to keep everyone safe. Like a shield.
To be...
Then why is she a dainty female?
Yeah, make her a brick wall.
That is a literal shield. Yeah.
I think of like what's her name, Bran from Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
I want to think of like a human shield.
Well, he's like he just built one. She's a test unit.
I know.
Like if you're gonna build a lifelike robot, why wouldn't you build it to be a beautiful woman?
Because it's creepy. You have a naked woman that you have complete control over walking around your house.
Say like that Radcliffe was like, I'm not a sicko.
I'm a little more accepting of the fact that he created her to be beautiful, just, you know, just to look at. But then when she talked about how she's meant to be protection, I'm like, but she's so dainty.
Well, does she? I imagine that her arms like turn into cannons.
She's probably so strong.
Along.
The materials that she's made out of are probably so strong.
Yeah.
In the Marvel universe,
being
there,
small would be more efficient because it would mean you could get into
quicker.
Different
I wonder how
places.
Agile.
There's a couple precedents for this. LMD or life model decoy is something that Agent Fury has used quite a bit.
True.
Where it's a fake out, where it's like, oh, Fury died. No, he didn't. It was a life model decoy. There's also a precedent for a female, they say she's not an AI. I don't know the difference between an AI and mimicking human, except for that an AI would not mimic, it would just come up with the original ideas
the
itself.
The difference is like Vision is an AI.
Yeah.
He was artificially created. Ultron is an AI, who they name drop in this episode.
But there is precedence for Jocasta, who is a female AI that was created to kind of replace Janet Van Dyne in a very kind of similar way, where it's like someone was mourning the death of someone and they were created. And she's sometimes a villain, sometimes a good guy.
Yeah.
She's Lady Ultron.
Does not have the best track record building AIs.
Yeah.
Well, there's just something. I mean, point to any given science fiction story about like artificial intelligence or robots becoming self-aware or whatever. But there's something really I find actually the idea of human mimicry creepier than AI, because AI, I feel like you can still reason with or whatever.
Yeah.
When you say human mimicry, it's like a puppet that is just parroting. Sorry, that's like the bird.
Yeah.
Things back to you without actually feeling any emotion. Like an AI, in my mind, can like think and feel.
Well, that's exactly what they want to avoid, because like the reason he calls out Ultron is that like AI has been, they banned artificial intelligence in the wake of Age of Ultron because they've seen not all AIs are going to have an Infinity Stone messing with it, but they see the results that can happen. So I think when he said mimicry, it's more that the artificial intelligence that is there is more pre-programmed, so that it's seeing a set of circumstances
like,
and reacting to them.
I programmed her to laugh at these jokes.
It can't come up with a
original,
new way to deal with the situation. It just does what it is told to do before.
But here's the problem. Every sci-fi show that has this,
yep.
She's going to be like, my job is to save everyone. but everyone keeps on getting killed. So all I'll have to do is put them in tiny little boxes, and then they'll never get killed because they're
gel
safe.
Cubes.
Yeah. Or at some point she has boxes. To determine that, you know, she needs to save them from themselves.
Yeah.
Because yeah. Like, that's what always happens.
If I kill all humans, then they won't kill each other. Yeah. And then it's like, well, this shield is now sword.
Your logic is now messed up.
Yeah.
All right, so we, and I, yeah, I look at her and I keep thinking, because she's in the show Gallivant, as we were talking about earlier, I keep looking at her, I'm like, she's going to sing a song, this is going to be great, but no, she's probably just going to murder all of mankind.
It is an interesting point, though, that he says that she is meant to be a diversionary target, because, predict now, sorry, I'm predicting early.
That's okay.
But... at some point in the season, we're going to get an LMD of one of our team.
Oh, for sure.
And we're going to not know it until it blows up, and it was a diversionary tactic.
Yeah, that's going to be this season's big, like, twist. Like, last season, Daisy getting, like, you know, controlled by Hive.
Yeah.
The thing is, I say that, but, like, this show has always been good about, like, using the things that we expect, but then bending them in a certain
way. And then surprising us anyway.
Yeah.
We're running a little short on time because, again, new time slot. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on in this episode before we get into news and gossip?
Oh, man.
There's so much.
We get Fitzsimmons together.
And we have Yo-Yo.
And Yo-Yo is great.
Momo!
Momo!
Momo! I like it.
Or was it Yak Yak?
Yeah. I can't remember. Yak Yak or Momo. We also get the Turing test name drop. For those of you who don't know what the Turing test is, it's named after Alan Turing. Mm-hmm. I believe his first name is something Turing.
Yes,
he's Alan the Turing. Father of modern computers. There was a movie about him. It was great. It starred
Doctor Strange.
The Turing test is whenever we come up with a new artificial intelligence or computer running system, they give it the Turing test, where blindly people try and guess whether they're interacting with a human or artificial intelligence. And so far, nothing has been able to fool humans. There are levels of being able to fool humans where you get into a conversation with it and you're like, wait a minute, this is not acting like someone. But so far, nothing's been able to fool it yet. And so that's what the Turing test is. It's a way of, like, telling whether or not something is AI.
Whether or not you're talking to Siri.
Similarly, on just science stuff, there's the building that they go into when they find, I believe it was when they find the truck, was named the Cosmogenics Lab. Mm-hmm. Cosmogenic refers to, like, cosmogenic isotopes.
Yeah.
Which are, and I'm just reading here because science, I want to make sure I say it right.
Yeah, sure.
Are rare isotopes created when a high-energy cosmic ray interacts with the nucleus of an in-situ solar system atom, causing nucleons to be expelled from the atom. So, like, but just the idea that this place was dealing with cosmic rays, which are very crucial to a lot of plot lines in the Marvel Universe, namely Fantastic Four, but, like, it's used elsewhere too. I just think that's not like just an accident. Maybe they're using cosmic rays to, like, make a ghost trap.
Ooh, ghost trap.
Maybe. I mean,
accelerators, you know, portable ones. You might put them on your back.
Considering what we saw today, possibly.
I think the only other thing I want to bring up is that I think it's very interesting that we have Daisy and Ghost Rider kind of squaring off, because in the comics, one of his first foes was Hyde.
Yeah.
Like, that cracks me up.
That's true.
Like, yeah. I guess because, like, they're not going to bring Hyde back.
Of course not.
A good storyline in the comics.
That storyline is done. It's
just a nice little homage to that.
I love Hyde's ending. I think it's beautiful what they did with him.
It was perfect. Yeah. But they don't need to bring him back. I just think it's, like, kind of funny. I'm like, oh, hey, this is fun.
Yeah.
All right, so should we go ahead and roll on into news and gossip then?
Sure. Yes.
Let's do it.
AfterBuzz TV News. So it's possible, like, Gabriel Luna may have slipped up big time.
Uh-oh.
This week. He was giving an interview to Collider.
He plays Robbie Reyes.
Yeah, that's Robbie Reyes. And he was talking about Ghost Rider being in the show, and he said, what the MCU hasn't touched on are things that can't be explained perfectly by science. That's the magic season.
Yeah.
It's a lot of really fun stuff that starts to lean into the world of Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider, and Mephisto, and all of those other elements that also exist there, like ghouls and goblins and all that sort of thing. The fact that he listed Mephisto out, like, with two very concretely in MCU things like Doctor Strange and Ghost Rider sounds like we might like it's not a confirmation. He could have just been listing cool things that he'd read.
He's probably been reading comic books.
Yeah, but it sounds like we might get Mephisto, who is basically Satan.
Yeah. He is the Marvel Devil.
A Dr. Faustus like kind of situation.
Or Blackheart.
There's just so much that can happen. Yeah. But like Mephisto, like I mainly remember from that ridiculous Spider-Man thing.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah, we're not talking about
All you need to know about Mephisto is that he's the Marvel Devil.
Yeah. But it could I could totally see them having to, if Mephisto comes to the MCU, and this is a character that like you do not want on the big screen, like, but you could spend him on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to give Robbie Reyes and S.H.I.E.L.D. someone to battle together against.
He plays a really big part in the Infinity Gauntlet, right?
Does he? I don't remember.
I think he's constantly with Thanos.
He's up to all sorts of shenanigans.
Yeah.
So, he loves messing with the Marvel heroes.
Yeah, I remember he was definitely in Infinity Gauntlet.
Plot twist, the new director is Mephisto in disguise.
I like that.
Well, they did cast the director, who's Jason O'Mara, who the thing I most remember from is Terra Nova, if you watch that show. But so I think we're going to meet him next week. So like
that they delayed it.
And that character is, they said, going to be somebody who has deep, this is the quote, like deep connections to Marvel's 40s past. And I know on Marvel Movie News we tried to like dig into who that might
who
be from like all the like 40s characters.
Yeah.
And we came up sort of dry. So it could be like parentage thing to like, or it could be literally like in the 40s of the like MCU timeline. We'll see. There's also a drop that one of the showrunners, and I can't remember if it was Jed, I think it was Jed Whedon, but I'm not sure, said that they might try to close out some of the Agent Carter storylines.
Ooh. That would be lovely. That would be really nice. That would be lovely because like we were all left hanging.
Never got wrapped up. Like, we got to wrap up.
We do. Yeah. We do. I don't think we have time for predictions, sadly. Okay. Do we want to do real quick rapid fire predictions down the line?
TV. I don't really have any TBH.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, I've been predicting all episodes. Yeah. We know that the Spirit and Daisy are going to fight again. Woo!
Davis definitely dies, and his pregnant wife is very sad about it.
We'll talk about this more online. Tell us in the comments what you thought of the change in Gabe's storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Because he went from mentally disabled to just physically just disabled, and I don't know what that's going to be like.
Yeah.
Also, I think Mac is going to call Yo-Yo in Miami.
I like it. I like it. And also, I'm going to put it out there. New director is Mephisto. That'll be my pie in the sky prediction. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Jesse, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. If you like science fiction, Zach and I do Sci-Fi Weekly. That's every Wednesday. And that's tomorrow. It's 3:00. If you like other Marvel stuff, we're also doing the Luke Cage after show starting next Friday.
Next Saturday.
So I didn't realize it was so soon.
So excited.
We've run out
That's
of time.
That's where you can find me.
All right, Zach.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, and also on our sister network Popcorn Talk on Marvel Movie News as the voice of Doom. And with Jesse Sci-Fi Weekly tomorrow, we're talking about the movie Arc that just came out on Netflix. And Luke Cage next Saturday. We're going to do 3 after shows covering 6 episodes in one day.
Yeah.
Come spend your entire Saturday with us.
It's going to be so good. Hey guys, I'm Joyce. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at JayJury, and I'll see you all next week.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for the Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Thank you guys so much for watching. We love you, and we are loving that we are back. We will see you all next time.
Bye. Bennett Stare.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Vengeance!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.